Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Genesis chapter 12, we'll be studying verses 1 through 9 this morning, talking about the call of Abram. The call of Abram, or Abraham as he was later named when God changed his name. But the call of Abram, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And as we've been studying, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, where he grew up, and his father took the family, and they left, and they were journeying towards Canaan, and they stopped in Haran, and they stayed there, until Abraham's father passed away. And so when we come to chapter 12, Abraham's father has died, and they're at Haran, and the Bible tells us about God's call to Abram. And the first thing we notice this morning is that it was a call to leave. It was a call to leave. And so we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at this call of Abram. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you'd forgive us for our sins. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. Pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would save them this morning. I pray that you'd bless us and help us to learn what we need from your word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So it was a call to leave. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So notice how the Bible says the Lord had said. The Lord had said. So this is something that God had already told Abraham to do. It wasn't something that he just told him at this point. It's something he'd already said to him. And we find that in the book of Acts. In chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, and you'll excuse me, I have a scratchy throat this morning, so I'm probably going to cough through this, but when you listen to this online, you won't hear any of that at all because we edit it out. It's fantastic. That's why we don't do live broadcast here, because I cough and crack these jokes that aren't funny and all this kind of stuff, and we take all that out. But Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, the Word of God says, "And he said, Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." Now that is the Ur of the Chaldees. He was in that region. Before he dwelt in Charan, or Haran, as the Hebrew in the Old Testament calls it. "And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell." So when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee," God had commanded Abraham to do that while he was still in the Ur of the Chaldees. But he had waited, and when his father left, then he left with him. Nehemiah 9:7 says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham." So God chose Abram while he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. Probably, at this point, Abram grew up, the people worshipped idols. His family worshipped idols. And so probably at this point, Abram did not even know the true God. And yet God came to him and chose him and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and eventually gave him the name of Abraham. If you look at chapter 11 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So you'll notice what's going on here. All right, the Bible teaches us that it was God that called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. It was God that called him to do that. And the Bible also teaches that he left because Terah, his father, who worshipped idols, he left because Terah, his father, said to the family, let's go, let's leave. So who was it that got Abraham to leave? Was it his father? Or was it God who commanded him to leave? Well, the answer is that it was both, because God told him to leave, but then God used his father, who wasn't even a believer in God, but God used his father to get him to leave. So you see, despite human circumstances, it was really God leading Abram to leave Ur. And there's a lot of things that we think are just human circumstances where God is really working in the background and God is accomplishing things that we're not even aware of. Get thee out of thy country. That's what God told Abraham to do. He said, get out of your country and from your kindred. And Spurgeon said it was God's intention to keep his truth and his pure worship alive in the world by committing it to the charge of one man and the nation that should spring from him. In the infinite sovereignty of his grace, he chose Abraham, passing by all the rest of mankind, and elected him to be the depository of the heavenly light, that through him it might be preserved in the world until the days when it should be more widely scattered. So until the time when the good news of the one true God was more widely scattered in the world, that heavenly light, Spurgeon says, was deposited with Abraham. And that was God's plan. It seemed essential to this end that Abraham should come right out from his fellow countrymen and be separate unto Jehovah. So the Lord said to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. So it was God's plan to use this man, and he wanted him to get out, and that's going to become important later. God wanted him to get out of his country and to get away from his family. That's what God wanted. Now, the second thing we see is not only was it a call to leave, but it was a call to bless. It was a call to bless, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 12:2, the Bible says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So God not only said, I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing. And God never blesses us just to bless us. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's what he did with Abraham. The Life Application Study Bible says, when God called him, Abram moved out in faith from Ur to Haran and finally to Canaan. God then established a covenant with Abram, telling him that he would found a great nation. Not only would this nation be blessed, God said, but the other nations of the earth would be blessed through Abram's descendants. Israel, the nation that would come from Abram, was to follow God and influence those with whom it came in contact. Through Abram's family tree, Jesus Christ was born to save humanity. And through Christ, people came to have a personal relationship with God and be blessed beyond measure. And ultimately, the blessings that have come upon the world came through Abram and the Jews, but ultimately they came through Jesus Christ, who descended from Abraham. And all of us are blessed. All of us that believe are blessed through Jesus Christ. Genesis 12:3, God says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. It's interesting that God says there'll be a blessing to those that bless you and a cursing to those who curse you. And we've certainly seen that play out. Barnhouse said this. He said, when the Greeks overran Palestine and desecrated the altar of the Jewish temple, they were soon conquered by Rome. When Rome killed Paul and many others and destroyed Jerusalem under Titus, Rome soon fell. Spain was reduced to a fifth-rate nation after the Inquisition against the Jews. Poland fell after the pogroms. Hitler's Germany went down after its orgies of anti-Semitism. Britain lost her empire when she broke her faith with Israel. And incidentally, if America turns against Israel, America will face God's judgment for doing that as well. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And then the Bible says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So in Abraham's descendants, or specifically his descendant, shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we see that indeed through Jesus Christ, the Jews have been blessed. Acts 3:25-26, the Bible says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so we see that the Jews were blessed through Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, and God blessed them by turning them from their iniquities. God gave them the gift of repentance, and God gave them forgiveness. And so the Jews that embraced Jesus Christ have been blessed. And then the Gentiles are blessed as well through Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:7-9, the Bible says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So if you want to receive Abraham's blessing, by the way, Abraham, the Bible says, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So if you want to receive that same blessing, then have the same faith as Abraham. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and your faith will be counted for righteousness. It's a wonderful thing. We need righteousness to go to heaven. In fact, Jesus Christ said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And so nobody can enter into God's kingdom unless their righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees, even though we look badly upon them, as far as keeping the law to the letter were concerned, they were some of the most righteous people that you could find. And yet Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed their righteousness, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. How can we have a perfect righteousness so that we can enter God's kingdom? It's very simple. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we don't have righteousness that will get us to heaven, yet our faith in Jesus Christ is counted for righteousness. And God takes the good things and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts them on our account. And therefore, when God looks at us, he sees not our sins and not our unrighteousness, but rather he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he declares us to be righteous. That's called justification. Not just as if I'd never sinned, but rather just as if I'd never even been a sinner, just as if I'd always had the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are justified in the sight of God when we believe in Jesus as Savior. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, and indeed all are blessed. In Christ, the Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither bond nor free. The Bible even says there's neither male nor female. Everyone is equal in Jesus Christ. And we have his righteousness. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so it was the call of Abraham was a call to bless, and through his seed, Jesus Christ, he has blessed the world. all nations are blessed. Now, the third thing we see is that it was a progressive call. Or rather, it was a progressively obeyed call. It wasn't a progressive call. God called him and told him what to do, but it was progressively obeyed. Abraham did not fully obey the call of God all at once. Verses 4 through 9. The Word of God says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." Now, keep in mind that at this time, Abraham was in his 70s. And so he had waited quite a while to obey God's call, but the Lord had said to him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and go into a land that I will show thee." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Abraham showed Abram showed obedience, but partial. He took Lot, who caused him trouble later on. He was supposed to get out of his country and from his kindred, but instead, he took his nephew. So he did not fully obey God. Verse 5, "And Abram took Sarai his wife." Now, he was supposed to take his wife. God didn't tell him to leave his wife behind. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So God blessed Abram and Haran. He got a lot of stuff. He accumulated. His was a progressive journey. Abram had not yet fully obeyed God. Now notice, Abram did not forsake his father until he died at Haran. He did not forsake his brother's son, Lot, until conflict arose. God still blessed his efforts to obey, but God did not fully bless him until he fully obeyed. And we'll find that later on as we study. Verse 6, "And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land." By the way, back to that partial obeying thing. You know, Abraham shows us that if you make an effort to obey, God will bless you for obedience. And the Christian life is a life of growth, and it's a progressive thing. But the fact that Abraham was not fully blessed until he fully obeyed should tell us that if we hold back from God and we don't fully obey, that we're going to miss the full blessing that God would like to give us. So it's better if we just fully obey. A lot of people think partial obedience is not obedience at all, but Abraham tells us differently. He was making an effort. It was a difficult thing. I mean, you think about it. God tells you to leave your family, to leave your father, and, you know, your nephew, your family, and go to a land, and you don't even know where the land is. God just tells you, go somewhere, I'll show it to you. I doubt any of us would do that. How many of you would just leave your whole family and just start driving? And if you did, people would think you were nuts. I'm sure people thought Abraham was crazy. God tells him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and go a place and I'll show you where it is." And actually, Abraham spent his whole life, as we shall see, looking, and he never found on the earth what he was looking for. The Bible says, "Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land." Abraham owned nothing in the promised land. The only thing he got was a place to bury Sarah, which he did eventually get in chapter 23 and verse 4. Abram said, "I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight." So he got that, but Abraham himself said, "I'm a stranger with you. I'm a sojourner." But in verse 7, chapter 12 and verse 7, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So it's interesting. Abraham has nothing in the land, but God says, unto thy seed will I give this land. And that's all Abraham needed, was the word of God, God's promise. Abram had no child. Think about that. He had no child. He owned no property in the promised land, yet he had the promise of God, and that's all he needed. John Calvin talked about he had the bare word of God. That's all he had. He just had the word of God. He had nothing else. And you know, when you have the word of God, when you have God's promise, that's all you need. You understand? That's all we need. We're promised heaven. We're promised heaven. Nobody's ever seen heaven that's in this room, I don't think. Any of you died and come back to life? No. We've not seen heaven, and yet Jesus promises us eternal life if we believe in Him. And you think about how crazy that is. You've got somebody you've never seen before. You've never seen Jesus. He lived 2,000 years ago, and He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And for some reason, I know the reason, it's the Holy Ghost, but for some reason, you believed that promise. You believed that Jesus died for your sins on the cross and rose from the dead, even though you've never seen Him, but you believed it. And you believed in Him as your Savior, and now your whole hope or assurance that you're going to heaven is based on what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. That's nuts. And that's why the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And so, what we have is we have the Word of God, as Calvin said, the bare Word of God. We just have the Bible. And that's what we base our faith on. We base our faith on this Word. And if the Bible says that we have eternal life because we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe it. And we have assurance that we have eternal life because of what Jesus said. By the way, in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, in the beginning, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And so the Bible uses the word there, translated word in English, is logos, and the Bible uses the word logos both to speak of Jesus Christ and to speak of the Bible. And so, what you have in the Bible is you have what Jesus Christ said. And a man's word is his bond, or at least it used to be. If you're a politician, that's not true. But nonetheless, a man's word is his bond. That's what it should be. And Jesus Christ, when He speaks, His word is good. And His word is backed up by who He is. He's God. He's the Son of God. And so you can trust Him. And therefore, Abraham had all he needed. When God told him, "I'm going to give this land to your seed," and Abraham didn't have a son, and he didn't have any possession in the land, when God told him, "I'm going to give you all this land, and I'm going to give it to your seed," and he had no son and he had no possession, yet he had the promise of God and he had all he needed. And that's all you need. That's all I need, right? The promise of God. That's all we need. Verse 8, "And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord." The place where he stayed there, Bethel, means house of God, the house of God. Abraham spent his life wandering in the promised land looking for God's house, looking for God's city. The Bible says in verse 9, "And Abram journeyed going on still towards the south." Now the best, by the way, he was a smart man. He was going towards the south. He didn't go north. He went south. Amen. And Moses was kept from going into the promised land by insulting southerners. He said, "Whoa, you rebels!" And God said, "You're not going in." And Abraham's journey going on still towards the south. Now, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, the Word of God says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he was looking for God's city. He spent his time wandering through the promised land, dwelling in tents, not having a permanent place to dwell, not really owning anything in the promised land, but God had promised it to him and his seed. And he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so this is an exhortation to us that, like Abraham, we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This is just temporary. And some people spend their whole life living like the only thing that's going to be is what they have on this earth. And this is just temporary. But our city is eternal in heaven. That's our residence. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And therefore, Abraham spent his time journeying by faith. And that's the same thing we're doing. We're just going by faith. We've got the Word of God, and we go through life. And just like Abraham, tragedies happen in our lives. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. Sometimes we can't see what's ahead. But we press on by faith, and we keep going, because we know that at the end of our journey, there's the heavenly city. We seek a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that has foundations, that's real, that God has made. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So I hope that everyone here has truly been born again and knows that heaven's their home. And if you're kind of walking through life right now and you've had some issues come up, medical issues, financial issues, other things, and you're not sure which way to go or which end is up necessarily, that you, like Abraham, will just walk by faith. Because that's what we have to do. We have to grab hold of the bare Word of God. We have to grab hold of the promises of the Bible. We have to grab hold of the promises of the Bible and trust them. And walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. Thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray if anyone does not know you as Savior, that they will turn to you in faith today, trusting you to save them, to justify them. I pray for Christians who are struggling with doubt, with depression, with loss, with many different things that touch our lives, with pain, physical pain. I pray that you would just speak to us today. Give us the promise of your Word. Let us hold on to these promises and keep moving forward for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name.